Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali Preliminary 2018 Results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, CEO and General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our full year results conference call. Before starting, I would like to inform you that we have partly changed the representation of the information in the document to be in line with the communication during the Investor Day. Coming back to the numbers. First of all, let me say that we are very proud of the commercial results we achieved during 2018, because we consider last year as one of the most difficult year for our sector. Despite the turbulence of the market, we reached very important results, 5 billion euro of net inflows. We announced two acquisitions, one in the asset management with Nextam, and another one in Switzerland with Valeur. We increased the total assets, offsetting the negative effect of the market. Probably even more important, we continue to grow to nurture our FA network with an increase in the total number of financial advisors, as well as an increase on the portfolio average of our financial advisors at 29 million euro. Moving instead on the financial numbers, reported net profit were at 180 million, and that like-for-like basis is equal to 167 million. We changed some accounting rules for the cost of growth, and we will see in the next page. They say that this number is really important because we have several negative factors. First of all, a very poor contribution of the most variable component of our P&L. Second, there are several one-off items, both in the provisions and costs. Excluding the more volatile components of our P&L, the recurring net profit reached the highest level at 128 million, up 48% on year-on-year basis, and on a like-for-like basis, 33%. We confirmed the dividend at 1.25 euro per share. We propose it to the AGM in April. The capital ratio continue to be very solid at a very high level, in particular relative to the SREP requirement. Next page number four, you can see the new accounting rule for the cost of growth. We introduced this new accounting rule on the fee expense paid to the existing financial advisors, thanks to the flexibility introduced by the IFRS 15. We decided to align the accounting treatment for the growth of the existing financial advisors to the one of the new financial advisors, amortizing the cost in 5 years. This new rule allow us to increase the correlation between the fee expenses and the revenue generation. Consider also that this change in accounting has no impact for the 2021, that is the end of our 3 years business plan. On the right of the page, you can see a table with the numbers. The benefit derived by the new accounting rule is at 20.2 million euro. That equals to 13 in terms of net profit, with a positive impact on the payout ratio of almost 3 percentage point. At page five, you see a snapshot of our P&L. First of all, total banking income In total banking income, we almost offset the negative contribution of performance fee thanks to a flexible fee expense and an increasing contribution of other revenues to our P&L. And on the cost side, once you excluded the one-off, the increase is negligible at around 1%. We will see later the one-off items. And on the provision side, linked to the reorganization of the network that you know we ran during the 2018, we had almost 4.7 million euro of provision for the, let's say, for the managers, and we have a positive effect. We will have a positive effect in the cost, in the running cost of the first level of the manager of the network for the coming years. So we anticipate cost of managers that left the role in 2018. It's important to work out the total net effect of the new accounting rule, keeping in mind also these one-off effects. So the total positive effect of the new accounting rule for 2018 is 13.6 million euro. We have cost and provision, let's say one-off cost and provision, and for 8 million. So the net positive contribution is at 5.6 or 3% of net profit. Page 6, we have the breakdown between recurring profits and variable profits. You know, in 2017, the recurring profits were at 86.5, and with an higher contribution of the variable profits at 117.6. With the old methodology, 2018 would have been 114.7 of recurring profit with a very impressive growth, and with a contribution of the variable profit that is almost half than in 2017. On top of the Visa 114.7, you have to add the 13.6 coming from the new accounting rules, and so 2018 new accountant's rule at 128.3 of recurring profits. So, as I said, despite the negative impact of the market crash, we saw a very important contribution of all the recurrent revenues. So now, as usual, we will go through the single items of the P&L, starting from the net financial margin. The number for the fourth quarter, numbers were in line with the third quarter, 17.8 compared to 17.7 of the third quarter. You see there is a marginal reduction of the net interest income and a marginal increase of the trading gains. This is mainly due to an increase in the liquidity held by the bank at the end of the year due to the uncertainty of the market. For the full year, the total net financial margin reached 84.1, so higher than the 79.5 of the year of 2017. Page 9 gives you an overview of what we are expecting for 2019. So, first of all, let's see the starting point of the total assets and the total bearing assets. Total assets at the end of 2018 were at 9.7 billion euro, with liquidity at 1.5 billion. That if you compare it with the 0.8 of 2017, you can see the negative contribution of this mounting liquidity. The loans to client credit was almost in line with 2017. Here you have some round effect. and financial assets were flat at 5.7 billion euros. What do we expect for 2019? Liquidity less than 1 billion, credits up to 2 billion, and the financial assets, so banking book, over above 6 billion euro. So we expect a change in the mix as well as a better yield for the, in particular for the financial assets. So in the table below the bars, you can see the yield of the three main contributors to the net financial margin. So loans to banks minus 0.26, and we have we estimate almost the same contribution, the same yield for the full year, probably a little bit better, so a lower cost. Unchanged the yield for credits, while we see good opportunities in the financial assets. In particular, you know, we have several maturities during this year, so investing part of the maturities and part of the liquidity, we aim at also diversifying more the banking book, and reaching also a higher yield. Page 10, we start with the gross fees. You know we have three main components in the gross fees. First of all, management fees, performance fee, and other fees. Management fees, you can see a dip in the fourth quarter, 155.5. It is mainly driven by the market crash. On the top right of the page, you see the focus where the market performance contributes negatively for 4 million euro, and 1.3 was driven by a remix, so a more conservative approach of the clients. So while the yield on total AUM is at 1.44. Thanks to the recovery of the markets of January, we think that we can recover a great part of this dip. For the performance fee, you know, the 2018 was probably one of the worst ever. The contribution for the fourth quarter was negligible, 2 million euro. We closed January with a single-digit contribution, but we have some positive flavor for the full quarter, because you know that on one end you have the selection with the quarterly mechanism, so we project a double digit number for the first quarter, and for the new look sim we have almost 50% of the assets that are between minus 1 and minus 3 from the high watermark level. So if markets pass in the next days, we could have a positive surprise from this item. On the page 12, you see other fees. Here, I think that we have only good news. The fourth quarter ended with 17.5 million euro, of which 5.8 linked to entry fees and 11.7 linked to banking fees. This is the result of the strategy to increase the diversification in the revenues. You know, structured product certificates, advisory fee and brokerage are working the right direction, and these revenues are more resilient to the market. And on a year-on-year basis, the increase was at 18%. So with a total contribution for 2018 of 68.8 million euro. And again, if you look at the yield on total assets, we are stable at 12 basis points, and I'm very confident and positive for the next months. On the fee expense side, page 13, you know we have the two main focus. The first one, the payout to the network, and the second one, the payout to third parties. Starting from the network and looking at the ratios, you see that payout ratio overall is 47.7, where the ordinary payout ratio is constant and in line with our guidance at 35.7. And then you see a significant reduction to the payout ratio linked to growth. So the delta between 2017 and 2018 is of almost 7 points, of which only 3 are linked to the new accounting rule. So the change is linked to the more conservative mix of the new inflows and the higher contribution of the existing sales force towards the recruitment activity. So this is very important because is a way to see how flexible is the mechanism and the compensation to financial advisors linked to the profitability of the bank. On the third parties, so here on the bottom of the page, you see that there is the payout to others, so this is mainly brokerage fees, is constant over time, while you see a reduction in the payout to third parties asset managers, and this is the activity of renegotiating the agreements with our partnership in the asset management field. And I think that we can see even a further reduction in the following months. Page 14, we introduced a slide with the core net banking income, because you know that during our Investor Day we set a profitability linked to the core net banking income. The fourth quarter spiked due to one-off items linked to the new accounting rules. I think that what is important is to see that the core net banking income margin would have been 0.64 on like-for-like basis. And I would like to remind you that we set a floor of 0.63 on our Investor Day for the next 3 years. Moving on to operating costs. Here, as I said, there are several one-off components. If we start from the graph on the left, you see the breakdown between core operating costs and sales personnel expenses. Sales personnel expenses are at minus 3 million in like-for-like basis, so year-on-year. And this is, as you know, we are very flexible in recruiting and hiring a relationship manager, depending on the opportunity in the market and the trend of our P&L. So we were very conservative in this activity during last year. While the core operating costs increased by 11.7 million euro, and you have on the right hand of the page the two major components. Non-sales personnel costs up 3.8%. It is in line with the guidance and is the consequence of the new managers that we recruited to strengthen the management team, while the G&A increased 9.1 million, of which more than 7 linked to one-off. In particular, the cost of the M&A activity, the cost linked to the BG Saxo project, so the strategic project, the office moving, about 1.4 million, and then an increase on the contribution to bank rescue funds from 4.7 to 7.5. As we said, the difference excluding these one-off items would have been 2.6. And on the left bottom of the page, you see the ratios that confirm the discipline and the strict control of costs and the great operating leverage of the bank. So cost income at 41.7 and cost on total assets at 0.34. In terms of dividend, as we announced during our Investor Day in December, we set a floor of 1.25 euros per share, so we confirm this dividend for 2018. It equals to 80.6% in terms of dividend payout, it implies a dividend yield at 6.2%. Capital position, so page 17, you see CET1 and TCR ratio at very high level, just marginally lower than the last year and 2017, mainly driven by the widening of the spread, Italian spread. Excess capital is almost stable, leverage ratio at 5%, and we continue to have a very, very high liquid ratios and liquid positions. So just to sum up this part of the results, I think that we should underline the fact that we reach very, very strong core profits. The diversification of the revenues started working and is in line with our next 3 years priorities, and all the projects are up and running. And there is a great flexibility in the fee expense, in particular on the fees linked to growth. And this is for me, is another way to measure the profit, the sustainability of the company. Moving on to net inflows, assets and recruiting. So starting from page 19, we see the total assets at the end of 2018, so 57.5. The pro forma number, so including also the announcement of the two deals, would have been 60 billion euro. 42.7 billion invested in insurance and asset management products. And of course, during the sell-off of the market, we saw a marginal reduction of the contribution of the asset management product, but the wrapper solution confirmed at 25% of the total AUM and more than 50% of the total asset under management. On top of that, it's important to see also the trend of the asset under advisory. We closed the year with 2.3 billion euros, so on top of the wrapper solutions, and it equals to 4% of the total AUM. And you know that the asset under advisory is one of the pillars of the strategy for the next 3 years. Page 20, you can see the total net inflows at 5 billion euro, only 44% in insurance and asset management products. Of course, it's a more conservative and prudent approach, but it's really important to underline the contribution of organic FAs, so the existing sales force, at 58.2%. That is the highest level for the bank. And as I announced during the previous conference call, in 2018, we focused all the attention on the existing sales force to be ready for the MiFID and to reduce the risk of wrong recruitment activity linked to MiFID again. So this is another way to see how flexible is the commercial activity and how fast we are able to change the priorities for the bank. For this year, we continue to be very focused on the existing sales force in order to see the full effect of MiFID on competitors first, and we probably will reaccelerate the recruitment activity next year. For this year, we expect a range of 10-12 per month, considering some seasonality for August and December. So in page 21, you can see some numbers on our advisory network. As I said, the portfolio average reached 29 million euro. That is slightly higher than 2018. It was 28.8. And so, despite the negative impact of market, our financial advisor successfully increased the assets they manage. And another couple of information, very important. We are very close to have more than almost 90% of total AUM managed by financial advisors with more than 15 million euros. That for us is a threshold, as you know. And almost two-thirds of them in terms of head accounts. and on the left, on the right of the page, you can see the recruitment trend with the number for 2018 at 105. And as I already said, for 2019, we expect something similar, probably a little bit higher, but not too much. Page 22, you see the first numbers for January. We met all the network during January with our kickoff activity, and after the kickoff we saw a very positive reaction and a very positive approach to clients. We ended January with €430 million, and February started very well. The mix is still very conservative. It takes normally 1 month to stabilize the asset management inflows after a sell-off in the equity market. So we start seeing some stabilization also on the asset management products in February. The very positive news comes from advisory. January was one of the best months ever with €180 million in advisory fee services. Recruitment trend, again, in line with the range of 10-12 at 11 for January 2019. So just to sum up this part, I see a very sound commercial activity at the start of the year, and there is an increasing interest in advisory contract, faster than I previously expected. Mainly for investing in illiquid assets and to provide holistic approach. Another positive factor on my side is that we start seeing some stabilization in the asset management products inflows, as I said, after the market crash in December, and with also the opportunity to gradually reinvest the liquidity, in particular in traditional life policies that are the easiest way to invest money in the current accounts. So probably in February you will see very positive numbers in traditional life insurance and stabilization in the asset management products with increasing interest in advisory fee and in structured and certificate. The next page is about our closing remarks, so page 24. And of course, we met last year to explain our ambition for the next 3 years and the key pillars of the strategy. We went through all the pillars except for the first one, the sustainability, and at that time I said that we would present this topic during the first conference call, so here we are. So page 25 and 26, you see what we mean by sustainability. First of all, this is a very, very important topic for us, and has three main drivers. The first is that for us, sustainability is a cultural shift, so we change the vision of the bank, so including the word sustainability. So our vision is to be the number one in the private banking by value of service, innovation, and sustainability. And we set an important project defining, implementing, and monitoring sustainability KPIs within all the business functions of the bank. So first of all, a commitment to be sustainable to create long-term value for our stakeholders. Second, from a governance perspective, we instituted the Nomination Governance Sustainability Committee within the board and made up by the independent board members that, of course, are responsible for setting sustainability and governance guidance. And third, probably even more important, we introduced a new commercial approach dedicated to sustainability, and we are the first player to provide this kind of service. Everything is digitalized, and if you look at page 26, you see the three main steps. The first one is that we provide almost 160 funds with a bias in ESG trends. And thanks to the partnership with different companies, we have introduced the concept of the Sustainable Development Goal representation. So all the funds are, for each fund, we give the contribution in terms of these goals. You can build a portfolio made up by only ESG funds, giving a preference of one, two, or more of these sustainable development goals, and then you can report to the client not only the performance and risk analysis as usual, but you can provide a full reporting of the positive contribution of each fund to the social development goal targets, and let's say that is a way to see how the clients can provide a contribution to have a better world, say like this, continue investing and performing, because you know also that several back tests show us that this kind of products in the long term present also a sharp ratio better than the average of funds. So in just to cut a long story short, we have a platform, a proprietary platform, fully digitalized, where the client can give his preferences and their preferences in terms of social sustainable development goals. We can build up a solution, a portfolio with these funds, and we can report the positive impact in terms of having a better world. And this opened the door to new clients with a high, more sensitive to this kind of topics. Page 27, where are the targets we announced to the Investor Day. And just to say that during the next conference call, we'll start to present you an update of the main strategies and main projects. But the starting of the year has been very positive, and we are piloting and testing both BG Saxo and Robo4Advisory. So we are in line with our timeline to start with the rollout of all the initiatives. So I'm sure that in the next conference call we can provide you with a more full flavor of the success of this initiative with the network. And now I leave the floor to any Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everyone. Ciao, Gianmaria. Three questions. The first one is on the new accounting rule. I was looking at page 4 and page 5, and I cannot get the difference between the 20.2 million of impact from the new accounting rule, and at page 5, you mentioned 13.6 million. So if you can explain me what's the difference here. And also, you said the new accounting will reflect what you do for newly recruited FAs. If I'm not mistaken, you are accounting over 5 years, but not in a linear fashion. I think it is much more loaded on year one. Is this going to happen also for the cost of growth of existing FAs, or it is a linear over the 5 years? Second question is on page 9. You showed what you plan to do in 2019 on the banking book. And you are also loading up a lot of cash, looking also at your January flows. Current accounts are growing quite massively. Is there any guidance you can share with us on where you think NII will go this year? Last question is on M&A. I mean, you have been very active recently. It seems to me that in 2019, some smaller player in private banking could be up for sale. Is this something you share, this possibility, and you have any interest in doing more M&A, or you are fine with what you just did? Thank you.
Thank you. So, first question, they said that the difference is pre-tax and post-tax. 20 is before tax and 13 is post-tax. And on the second question, I hand over to Tommaso.
Yes, I can say that it's, of course we will have a linear amortization on the ordinary incentive scheme, while the amortization in the recruitment will be 50-60% in the first year. And then the other 40% in the next 4 years. That's because in the recruitment cost there are some components that cannot be amortized. That's why there is so it's not linked to an accounting rule, but it's linked more to how is composed the cost of recruitment. There are some part of those costs that must be charged in the P&L in 1 year.
Yeah, and for the last question, the net interest margin definitely will increase, and the target in terms of liquidity will be below one billion, and great part of the portfolio, the maturity of the portfolio, has a yield of almost zero. So I think that should be easy to increase the yield for the full year. The projection, we haven't upon a number, but let's say that I'm sure that will definitely increase and probably is a double-digit growth, probably. So for the M&A, last question. What I can say, I'm not interested in a small targets, so 1-2 billion, no more interested in, because we have just introduced a new growth engine in Switzerland, where we see several opportunities. And I see, probably we will see, not this year, but probably in the second part of this year, some medium player that can be interesting, but in this moment the full focus is on the organic growth and on the Switzerland, because we start seeing very, very positive signal of interest in our brand over there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Giuseppe Mapelli with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is on the MiFID II impact. Can you share with us what is the reaction of the clients towards the reporting of MiFID II, and what is the impact also on the, let's say, commercial performance or the financial advisor according to this new scenario? And my second question is on again on the new accountancy rule. I would like to understand if this new accountancy rule will have an impact also going forward on to payout. I understand that there is a 4% impact in these 2008 figures, but going forward, can you show us what could be the impact on the payout considering the new accountancy rule? Thank you.
Okay, and on the payout, the impact of the new rules is 2.8. And I leave the hands over to Tommaso to see the impact for the next year of the new accounting rule.
Yes, we expect that it will be gradually limited, because of course every year we have a benefit this year, which is the first year, but going in the next years, of course we will have an increasing in the charge of coming from the previous year. So at the end of the plan we expect that the impact on the P&L it will be really negligible, because
okay.
Yeah, so it's important to say that a great part of the reduction in the payout is linked to the mix of the inflows and to an increasing contribution of the existing sales force. So it's 4 out of 6.8, the contribution of the ordinary business. On MiFID II, I can say that my perception is that the clients, it will take time to see the full impact of MiFID. You know, there are some competitors are increasing prices, and because at the end of the day, the first feedback that we receive from the clients is not so negative. In our case, I continue to think of that we have to be very focused on the quality of the service and diversification of the revenues. And the fact that we are invested for more than 40% in insurance product and more than 25% in stock and bonds and current accounts is a competitive advantage compared to the other players, because you know, in this kind of products, MiFID is not an issue. In general terms, I think that the real problem is the performance of the market more than the MiFID and the transparency of the cost in this moment. And I'm pretty confident that in relative terms we are better positioned than the others with the client. But no sign of stress. I mean, of course, we start meeting the clients and some surprises are in place, but less than we originally expect.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Just one quick question from my side. I was wondering if you are expecting a deterioration of the asset mix due to the market volatility we have seen in the recent months. You already elaborate on the mix of net inflows. Are you witnessing a significant also change in mix for the existing clients? So there is a significant risk of shifting assets from, let's say, managed assets into defensive liquid assets. Do you think this is going to continue throughout the first part of this year or throughout the entire 2019? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. The short answer is no. The long answer is that probably in the short term we are focusing the energies and the effort of the network to increase the inflows. Because this is a particular moment in the market, so we want to leverage our proposition, and of course it's much easier to offer traditional insurance or let's say very conservative solution than risky assets. So as a priority for the bank in the first 3 months, we want to try to accelerate in terms of inflows and launching all the initiatives that are focused also on AUC and asset under advisory. For the full year, we are confident to maintain the position in the wrappers and to see an acceleration in the offering of our LuxIM platform, because we continue to see constant positive inflows in the new initiatives. And so I think that all in all, the effect will be, in particular in the second part of the year, positive. In the first quarter, if you ask me what I'm focused on inflows and selling the easiest product. To convert the liquidity, we have time, and we are ready. Let's say that between February, probably March, we will launch new initiatives, again with a different risk profile in the asset management solution, in LuxIM in particular, and in the financial wrappers. And so in that moment, we will accelerate on that kind of offering.
Thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Banca IMI. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone. My first question is on net inflows. Can we consider the result, so that the total amount of January as a run rate for the full year? So can we expect a total net inflow basically in line with 2018, with the mix, if I have understood correctly, progressively improving throughout the year? And then my second question is a follow-up on NII. Have I understood correctly that it could have a double-digit growth in 2019? Because my line was not good when you answered to the question previously. Thank you.
Thank you. So in terms of net inflows, it's probably too early to review the guidance that we announced during the Investor Day. So I would say stick to this kind of guidance, that we say that from the traditional, say, business, the range should be 3.8, 4.2. And then you have, on top of that, the Saxo initiative and the Swiss initiatives. I see positive sign in the beginning of the year. So February is going very well. Generally, you saw the number. The mix, you are right. You will see a stabilization in the mix, progressively in favor of the asset management products. In terms of net interest margin, I said that depends, of course, on this market condition, because the approach is very conservative. But if we confirm the stabilization of the market of these last weeks, we can reach a double-digit growth in the net interest margin. But depends on the market condition, because I don't want to accelerate and expose the bank to risk. So I want to understand exactly what's going on the market, and then we start investing.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Mossa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over. You may disconnect your telephones. Thank you.